A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Final march to see.
Nice, they're scrubbing that.
Jackson.
What?
The time has come.
Yeah.
For you to pay for your crimes against video games.
It has come. It's fallen upon me.
We are recording this episode.
I am Christ on the cross.
Gamer Christ on the cross.
I am Gamer Christ. This is my crown of thorns.
Yeah, and unfortunately for the entirety of March, we're going to be nailing those nails in.
Each game a nail. In my hands and feet and forehead. Yeah.
Yes, because there is 5 episodes of Thumb Cramps in March. You planned for 4.
There's 5.
That last nail straight through the head. Welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And today we are joined by special guest, streamer and musician Sleepy Nice.
Boys, my thumbs are cramping like heck.
Cramping.
I was
already
gaming just before we started recording, so
oh,
I'm all cramped up.
Oh, nice and fresh.
Nice and fresh off the game.
Yeah, fresh off the game.
I'm fresh off. You're fresh off the game for the episode. That's very exciting.
FOTG. That's what I call it.
Now, Jackson.
Yes.
To celebrate Final March to See.
Yep. For the first week of Final March to See, today we're talking Final Fantasy VII for the Nintendo Switch and other games.
Now, listeners, fresh listeners to the show may note that we keep talking about this being a punishment, yet you've picked a game that
is beloved. A beloved game.
Frequently cited as the best game of all time by some people.
Yeah, definitely there was a period of time, probably like 10 or 15 years, where that on the PlayStation 1 and Ocarina of Time on the Nintendo 64 were frequently cited as they did it. These are the best games.
Well, I'm here to say that's not true. I'd just like to say final farts to see. All right? That's what it's more
I don't
like.
Know if you can say that.
I think I can say that. Okay?
Saying this game stinks?
I'm saying it's a stinker. So,
fine,
okay.
No fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This isn't my final fantasy. So I made a promise as part of Final March to See that I would play this game for 1 hour.
Every day.
Every day. I did. Yep. Okay, I did it. I put in the hard yards. I would ask my Google Home to set a timer for 1 hour, and I would lock myself into a sort of gamer prison where I couldn't be free until she started beeping.
Yep.
And I would be asking her, how much longer do I have? And she'd be saying 40 minutes, and I'd be like, there's no way that's true. How is it still going? So the area I got up to in Final Fantasy VII, and thank God, I woke up this morning joyous because I knew it was over. So where I got up to
Final Fantasy VII.
Over. Yeah, I know, but it was such a bad time. Anyway, so I got up to the bit where we got the dog.
There was 13?
Yeah, except...
Yeah.
So I didn't realize, this was one of the few moments of joy I got in the game.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you could name your characters.
Yep.
So I named whoever the main guy is.
Cloud,
Mr. Balls.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dr. Balls was, I think, Barrett. And then Miss Balls and Professor Balls and the Dog Balls.
You really are unfamiliar with, like, the JRPG thing, because naming your characters stupid stuff is, like, one of the greatest parts of the game.
Well, there you go. I'm doing it right, at least.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You were telling me off mic, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that because you've named all of your characters a variation of balls, anytime
I don't know what's
dialogue,
going on.
Someone refers to someone, you're like, I don't know who they're talking about.
I have no idea. What if they went missing? The flower girl? I don't know. She went missing, but I was like, which balls is gone? And then often, because, you know, later in the game, it'll be like, we need to split up, pick your teams. And I'm like, they're all balls. I don't know who. I'll pick one balls and it'll turn up to be Barrett or whatever, or I'll pick the wrong balls. I don't know what's happening.
It would have been really great if you really started to resonate with the game, but like still didn't know the real names of the characters. And you were like, oh, the flower girl balls. She's the best girl. She's the best
that
girl
balls,
in the game.
She's an ancient balls, I yeah. think. Yeah.
Yes. I guess if there is any listeners out there that are unfamiliar with Final Fantasy VII,
I'll try and explain the plot.
Oh, well, I was going to say maybe just start
The gameplay. So it is turn based. The combat.
Yep.
It's isometric and it's a role playing game. It's a JRPG.
Mm-hmm.
So something I didn't expect about the combat is that it's kind of, even though it is turn based, it's also still, it's kind of, I don't even know how to describe it. It's all happening. You know what I mean? it's always happening. It's not like you have your turn, then they have their turn. You have your turn, and then there's a period of time that you're waiting. In that time, they can attack you, and then once your timer is down, you can attack back.
Yeah.
Occasionally, you also hit your limit and get to do a Bomba Big Boy attack. I don't know what that means. I got another one at some point. Don't remember one. Mr. Balls can do two. No one else can.
That's why we love Mr. Balls. He's got two of them Bomba Big Buck Boy moves.
And Mrs. Balls, yeah. I think Professor Balls,
yep.
She sometimes has like a, it's like a slot machine,
yep.
But I don't know what it determines. Seems like
I don't
do
remember
the same
Professor
every...
in the game. I don't know where the Professor came from.
She's Professor Balls. I was trying to think of another. I should have called her Dr. Balls. Oh, no, that's Barrett.
Yeah.
I did. I was already that clever. So it's an isometric turn-based JRPG.
Yep.
So it's separated into sections where you are sort of like the RPG sections or the role-playing sections where you're talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to solve little kind of like fetch quest puzzles.
Yeah.
And then other sections, which are the more combat-oriented sections where there is, and this was pure hell, there are random encounters.
Yep.
And then occasionally like a boss.
Yep.
Or whatever. Thankfully, no boss I had to do more than once.
Yeah.
And most yep. bosses I could just do by tapping A repeatedly and not paying attention.
Uh-huh.
So that was good. Thank
yep.
God. If I had to do one twice, in fact, no, it did happen once. Fighting the boss that you fight with dog balls, I died the first time.
Rest in peace to dog balls.
Dog balls died. Dog balls got poisoned and died. Ripped to dog balls. Dog balls can talk English, which was crazy.
That's awesome. That's like the cat in Persona?
Yeah, could be.
I think there's a cat in Persona. I haven't played Persona 5.
So that boss I had to do twice, and I had to do a whole cutscene beforehand, and I was like, if I die again, I'm stopping. I can't do this more than once.
Just a question on that, because my game has this, which we'll get to soon. When you die... Is it just immediately like, hey, you got to load your game now? So wherever you last saved.
You die, it goes back to the main menu.
Yep.
Wherever you last saved, that's where you go to, regardless of if you've done a huge... Because, this game is like 99% people just yammering on. So you can have done that whole goddamn talking section where everyone's running their mouths or whatever. And then
I know there's a lot of like quality of life stuff on the re-release on the Switch though, right? Like I think you can turn off the random encounters and speed through cutscenes and things like that.
Yeah, I didn't realize you could turn off the random encounters, and I still actually didn't even when you told me I could like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I just forgot. But I did speed up everything.
Yeah.
So I was powering through it.
Mr. Balls was absolutely legging it.
Pinging.
Yeah.
Mr. Balls was going off. So there are a couple of moments of joy I got out of this game.
Yep.
Okay, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, number one, obviously naming my characters variations on balls.
Yep.
That was funny for me.
Life's simple joys.
And every time I got to name a new character, I was like, oh, awesome. Especially when dog balls came on the scene. Except when I first got to name dog balls, you name him and then you go into the boss fight, which I then lost.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to go all the way back and rename him.
Yep.
And the first time I think I called him Balls Dog, which I think is funnier. But then the second time I named him Dog Balls and I regretted it.
Yeah.
Balls Dog's way better. But anyway, here we are. Yeah. I'm never
Balls Dog
again.
Sounds more like a name of a person, and Dog Balls sounds more like a description of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dog Balls specifically.
That's dog. Yeah. It's like a description of dog's balls.
Exactly. Yeah.
But Balls Dogs could be a guy. Balls Dogs.
Yeah. There's more than one.
Yeah, there's Balls Dogs. And I also quite enjoyed the moment where, so there's a segment of the game.
Yeah.
Where some fella named Corneo has a mansion.
Yep.
And you need to sneak in to get information. I'm not quite clear.
Yeah.
But you have to dress up like a lady to do it.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, yeah. This, I know about this part.
You have Walmart market segment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which I found out later, if I had done a bunch of different things, I could have been picked by Corneo to have love made to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't do it properly. But anyway, I did like that when we confronted him, this was the only part of the game, because the game has a sort of a sense of humor as well.
Yeah, JRPGs often do.
The only part that I was like, this is amusing, is when we all threatened to crush his balls in different ways. There's some more balls related stuff.
Is it explicit? Does it say
balls?
Yeah,
well, yeah, so they're like, hey, Don Corneo, you better give us information or we're going to tear it off. And then one of them puts their foot on his bed and he's like, oh, no, I'm not going to tell you. And then the other player character's like, you better give us information or we're going to make it go away. And then they put their foot in the bed. So he gets three dick threats in a row. And that was pretty funny. That made me laugh.
I'm honestly surprised because long-time listeners of the show, or even if this is your second episode of the show, you would know that you loathe JRPGs.
Oh, they are my least favorite kind of game.
You loathe any game that tries to tell you the story through conversation.
Yeah, don't do that.
You just want, you want environmental...
I wanted to read, I'd read a book.
You want environmental storytelling. That's it.
The only good kind of storytelling is when you're in Skyrim and you see a skeleton with a book and you're like, he was reading, then he died. That's the
but
only
you don't read the book. Don't even open the book.
I pick up the book, I'd say, that's the skeleton's book. Great environmental storytelling, Bethesda, as always.
So, and yeah, you've often said that you, when you play video games, you often don't know what's going on for any of the characters' motivations because
the
words bounce off your skull.
Oh, yeah.
Like... a ping pong ball on a table.
Oh, yeah.
Not my best analogy, but it was the first
one. Not inaccurate, yeah. So, yes, that has happened. But I think I've picked up, because so much of this game is dialogue, I have picked up, I think I know what has happened in Final Fantasy VII.
The thing, and I think I spoke about this when I looked at it, but I haven't played it as much as you have, is that one thing that always like surprises me that people don't talk about more is that the game starts... and Cloud is about to do an eco-terrorist mission.
Yeah, you're full on eco-terrorists. Yeah. Yeah. Because the guys are using Mako wrong or something.
Yeah.
They're using too much Mako and it's wrecking the Earth.
Yeah.
So you got to blow...
Honestly, I'm super impressed. This is you're basically telling the game as well as it tells itself. So.
They're using too much Mako. It's wrecking the Earth. You join a group called maybe Rampage? and you're eco-terrorists, and you blow up a couple of furnaces, and then there's some kind of complaint about money that happens. I wasn't really clear.
Yeah.
Then you join the gang.
Yep.
Some stuff happens.
Yeah, you go to different towns, I guess.
Go to different towns. At some point, you meet the flower girl. Maybe you fall off something. I don't really remember.
That would be classic JRPG territory, a character slipping and falling off a thing.
You fall off a thing.
Meeting a woman.
Yeah, exactly. You meet her. You go to her house, meet her mom. A very annoying section where, well, maybe it's not annoying if you're not me. But you meet the flower girl. You go back to her house. And you have a little sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. She's in one room, you're in the other.
Yeah.
And then there's a stealth section where you have to sneak out of the house. But if you run, she catches you. And at first, I didn't realize it was a stealth section.
So you just ran straight away.
And I just ran and she was like, go back to bed. And I was like, no freaking way. This game is giving me another cut. Like the cutscene was just you wake up and then go back to bed. And then I realized, no, it was gameplay. That's okay. But then I couldn't for the life of me move slow enough to sneak down the stairs without being caught.
Is it because you didn't turn the speed back down?
No, I'm just impatient. And I kept thinking I was far enough away, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
And then some other stuff happens. You go to Corneo's mansion. They drop a bit of the city on the city. and then you go in a big tower and meet a dog that talks.
And then that's where the game ends for you.
That's the end of Final Fantasy VII. Another bit of joy that I got is one enemy was a house. And that was pretty cool to
that
fight
is
a
cool.
house.
A complaint that you've had, again, off mic, that this is just reminded me of. You were getting annoyed that there's too many enemy
there's
types.
There's too many enemies in this game.
Like, you're like, oh, the enemy variety's too big. That's good.
Why am I meeting a slug in this city? What am I, you know? Or like, what's this house? Who's this house?
Do you think the reading may have helped?
Nowhere have they told me who the house is. Nobody said we're going to go into the sewers. Careful, there's a house.
I think the name of the house is Death House, so I think that gives you all the information you need. You don't need a whole backstory. I think that's the best part of the game. It's just like
I can imagine what the Death House is, why it's in the sewers. Well, we killed it. So. Here's the thing. This is my great secret, right?
Yeah.
I think if I kept playing, and I'm scared this might be true for every week of Final March to see.
It might click.
I think I'm on the cusp of it clicking right now. Last night, as I was playing it, as I was fighting the boss, I was like getting used to using magic to use cure on my, you know, various members of my party. I was getting used to like seeing where the limit breaks were coming and whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I see we're using proper terms now. Yeah, that's interesting.
I was like, I'm getting, and I was like, it's good for me that it ends today.
It'd be terrible.
Well, it ended just
brand.
Before the whole world opens up for you, because like that's where the game really begins. It's when you get to go to the overworld and visit all of the cool different places.
See, it's good that I don't get to do that, because then I'd be in. Probably. If I got to do that, I'd be sucked off.
Well, what if instead of playing different games, you just keep playing Final Fantasy VII for Final March to see?
No. Each is going to be a different nail. They didn't hammer the same nail into Christ's hand 5 times. Okay?
It would have been a far more painful form of torture. Yeah. It would have slipped off. Remove them.
So, with that in mind,
yep.
With the fact that I think there's a chance this game could have clicked for me, and oh, I hate how that bodes. Because they're all JRPG. Mm-hmm. What if I get into JRPG?
Well, there's a lot of classics that you've missed out on the genre, so it would actually be fine for
deconstruction
you.
Of everything I believe in.
Persona 3, 4, and 5 are all on the Switch. You got Final Fantasy 7, 8, 10, and X2 are on the Switch. A game that I'll be talking about later is also on the Switch.
It's big worrying.
JRPG.
It's concerning. It's concerning. So I'm glad I'm stopping now.
Yeah.
And hopefully that next week it'll be like I'm starting again.
Yeah.
Rather than continuing on this path. So I'm going to give it, in light of the fact that I think I could have had a good time.
And it almost destroyed your personal brand.
And it almost destroyed my personal brand. I'm probably going to give Final Fantasy VII, one of the most beloved and well-liked games of all time, 2 thumbs.
Oh, wow.
But you got to understand how good that is coming from me.
No, I'm honestly, after everything you said, I was expecting a 1 thumber.
No, it's a 2 thumber. It's a 2 thumber. It's a 2 thumber.
I wonder if both that's hands. More insulting.
In a way.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the first week of Final March to see done for me.
Your penance has begun.
It's begun. It's underway.
The 5 trials of Jackson Bailey.
I am like Heracles. And these are my trials.
Yeah. Well, Jackson, I thought since you were playing a JRPG this week, it was time for me to play a JRPG that was beloved from my teen years, but one that I never owned, so never was able to get into properly. A game that will also help bridge the gap between FebuameCube and Final March to see.
I see. And because it is important we bridge that gap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I need to come to terms with the fact that, unfortunately, it is no longer FebuameCube. And the best way to do that was to play a GameCube port on the Nintendo Switch, because this week I've been looking at Tales of Symphonia Remastered, I believe it's called.
Hell yeah.
Were you a big did you play a lot of JRPGs?
No. This was probably the one I played the most of.
What about you, Sleepy? You a big JRPG?
Yeah, I dip in and out. I can't do, these days I can't do super long games unless they really blow me away.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's been a minute since a JRPG clicked with me. Persona 5 was probably the last one that I played to completion. And even then I got to the final boss and lost at my first attempt and was like, well, I beat the game. That's enough for me. But like I played a bunch of the Final Fantasies growing up. I've done like a bunch of tactical RPGs that are kind of like Tactics Ogre. And, which is sort of peripherally the same thing. But yeah, I'm no Stan. I'm no JRPG head.
You're not Mr. JRPG.
I haven't even played Tales of Symphonia, so I'm interested to hear about this game.
Yeah, so I will say that straight off the bat, this is a dog shit port. It is.
Okay.
I don't know what they Switch.
Did. I don't know what they did, but they truly shits my boy.
Damn.
So the GameCube version, and look, this is not something, if it was just this, I wouldn't care, and I'd be like, whatever, it's portable now. So basically, this game existed. It was a GameCube exclusive everywhere in the world except Japan, where there was a PS2 version.
Mm-hmm.
GameCube version runs at 60 frames per second. The PS2 one runs at 30.
Okay.
Fine, I'm not a big frames per second guy. If you give me a game that runs at 30 FPS,
yeah,
I'm like, this is fine.
That's enough.
Movies are at 24.
Second. Yeah.
I know. My eyes, like, they get it.
Your eyes figure it out.
Yeah. And this port is based on the PS3 version, which was a port of the PS2 version in Japan.
Yeah.
It adds a small amount of content, but again, yeah.
Yeah.
Lose 30 frames per second.
Damn. Yeah.
If it was just that, fine. Yeah. Whatever. But for some reason, anytime there is weather effects in this game, the frame rate plummets.
Oh, damn.
And yeah, like there's a cutscene right before like the first dungeony thing you do,
mm-hmm.
where you're walking through a sandstorm and the cutscene is like,
chugging along.
Yeah. Because at first I'd seen a lot of people complain about it and I was like, yeah. I haven't noticed any drops in frame rate, or if I have, it's been
really minimal.
Yeah, like not enough for my brain to even register it. Like I was having a think, but I was just before this section, and then I got to it. I was like, my God.
It's actually reminding me, I did play Shin Megami Tensei 5 on the Nintendo Switch when that came out. So
yeah.
I was wrong about the last JRPG
that
I played.
Bad.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Apologies.
That's okay. Forgiven.
But that game is also like, if any two things are happening on the screen at any given time, both of them are happening in what looks like stop motion. Like it's just, it's 5 frames a second, basically.
Jesus. And one thing that's interesting with the Tales of Symphonia chugging is like, so a lot of the cutscenes in the game are just rendered with in-game graphics. So it's not like you're getting like a, well, I guess, I don't know. It's baffling that
it would end up looking so, like, dropping so intensely.
The game has a few different varieties of, like, how cutscenes happen. There's ones where it's just the characters' faces appear on the screen and you get text, which is more just, like, character-driven stuff. Using the in-game engine for cutscenes is usually reserved for, like, story stuff.
Yeah.
And then occasionally for huge moments and at the very start of the game, there's, like, an anime.
Oh, okay, sure.
Cutscene.
Love that stuff.
Yeah. It's really good.
What's the story? What's it about? Are the Tales of Symphonia?
I wish I could tell you what that was, but I can tell you the plot.
There's a dog ball in it. There's a doctor ball in it.
Any balls in this game?
You can't name the characters in this game.
Wow.
So the game starts. You are a up-and-coming swordsman named Lloyd Irving.
Awesome name.
Yeah, great name.
Lloyd's a cool name.
I think I know that guy. I think it's a friend of mine.
Best friends with Lloyd.
Lloyd is a slacker student in a class with
Frickin'
his classmates.
Lloyd.
Genus, who is his best friend. Genus. G-E-N-I-S.
Oh my God. Genus.
Oh my God.
They can't call someone genus.
Oh, they can and they have.
That's perverse.
Is it just a matter of there not being like the only 5 characters per character name and they wanted to call him genius, but they had to pick a letter. And it's not going to be genie you.
No.
Well, this throws out your theory straight away because the other person that joins your party at the start of the game is Colette.
Colette, okay.
Yeah, which is a name.
That's normal.
Yeah. So basically, the game starts on the day of what is called the Day of Resurrection, I believe. Basically, what's happened is there was, in this world, a goddess who was helping fight evil in the world. They lost, so the hero of the world sacrificed themselves to save the goddess, so the hero dies.
Oh, yeah.
The goddess is in such mourning because of what's happened that they leave.
They've had enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
And then that led to the rise of the Desaians, who are half elves.
Uh-huh.
They run human ranches.
Whoa!
And there's like a peace treaty between, well, a non-aggression treaty between them and the humans and the towns around them, which is like, hey, don't come to the human ranches and we won't farm you.
Sounds like a good deal to me.
But every, I don't know how many years it is, but every X amount of years, the Chosen is selected, and the Chosen has to go around and cleanse these temples, basically.
Yeah.
Which then will lead to the regeneration of the world. Kick out the designs.
Yeah,
it'll
yeah.
just be like, and the goddess will come back to life. And the very start of the game, it's revealed that the Colette is that.
Oh, okay.
But then there's lots of just, like, very dark, like, for JRPGs do this all the time. Like, there's a lot of, like, very dark and somber moments in it.
Mm.
Like, I guess this is going to be light story spoilers just because of the length of the game, but pretty much everything I'm going to be talking about takes place in what would be Act 1.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's all at the start of the game, but it might take you like 2 or 3 hours to get to it because, again, big game. Basically what happens is, and this is all to set off the events anyway, so again, I don't feel that bad about spoilers.
I feel nothing.
Yeah, I know.
I feel great about it, honestly. Means I won't have to play it.
Yeah, that's true.
So basically what happens is you find out that Genus, who is your best friend, has befriended Marble, who is a grandma that lives on the human ranch near...
Is there a character named Jagina?
No.
Janus? Or Jossol?
Jaws?
Jaws? Yeah, is there a Jaws? Is there a character named Big Swingin' Jits?
The only... The only two characters...
Genus. Come on.
The only two characters that are in my party that I haven't mentioned by name yet are Rain, who is the teacher of your class, but also Genus' older sister.
Mm-hmm.
They are both elves. And Kratos.
Okay.
And
Kratos?
Yeah.
From God of War?
They put God of War in this game.
God of War's here.
Whoa!
He's a mercenary that rolled into town.
He's serving Jont, as Ruby Innes would love to say. You can say Jont on thumb cramps.
I guess it's gibberish, so yeah, it's still safe to play in schools.
Yeah.
Oh, that actually reminds me. A lot of people have reached out and said that I accidentally missed one of Ruby's swears at the end of last week's February
Cube.
I forgot to actually mention that that was not an editing mistake, but instead a choice by me, because to celebrate February Cube, why not let her say a Jeff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think she
deserves
it. So
please stop tweeting me. I'm not going to fix it.
It's not a mistake.
It's not a mistake.
It's a reward.
It's a celebration.
Yeah, exactly.
She's earned it, honestly.
Yeah, big time.
It was Luigi's Jeff and Mansion, as if I'm going to bleep that. Even though I
think
did bleep
it. That's the official
title.
Yeah, it should have been.
I did bleep it the first time she said it and just missed it the second. Well, chose to ignore it the second time.
Yeah, exactly. It was a conscious choice.
But anyway, basically what happens is Lloyd and Colette and Genus all team up to go to the temple where Colette's meant to get her blessing. The temple's being attacked. You beat the boss there. Colette's like, well, you've helped me overcome my trials. Yeah. I'm definitely the chosen. I've got to head to this next temple. Lloyd's like, hell yeah, you're like my best friend, one of my best friends.
Classic Lloyd.
So I'll come with you. And then the mercenary Kratos
from
God of War.
Of course.
He's popped up and he's like, you're just going to get in the way. I'll accompany her. It's a job for me. Because I'm a mercenary, I'm just rolling in. And Lloyd's like, I hate you. Stop belittling me, even though I'm 14 or 15, classic anime age, and you're an adult. Colette's like, okay, sweet, meet us in town at 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Lloyd's just rocking around his house. His parents have sadly died in the game. He's raised by a dwarf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Called Dirk.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. So, yeah, Lloyd's just kicking it sweet with Dirk. Mm-hmm. And then Genus comes in. He's like, Lloyd, where you been? And he's like, oh, we're going with Colette. She leaves at 2 p.m. And he's like, no. They left at like 11 a.m. She lied to you so you wouldn't come with.
Whoa.
And you're starting to get hints at this point that maybe this journey is going to be bad for everyone.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, you go to chase down Colette. Genus is like, I want to go say goodbye to Marbles.
Mm-hmm.
Marble.
Okay.
Mate.
Okay.
Marble. Yeah, Marble.
All right.
Who is on the human ranch. The designs see you. Lloyd attacks him. He's like, that's all right. I took out the ones that saw my face. They have a security camera. So then they raise the town.
Whoa.
And Lloyd gets banished. God.
Poor Lloyd.
Yeah. So pretty early on in the game, you're like, wow, my actions led to the deaths of lots of people I've spoken to at the start of the game.
It is always annoying when your actions have consequences.
Yeah.
I get that.
Then Lloyd decides the only way to redeem himself is to help with the regeneration of the world. So he catches up with Colette and then...
You're off on a grand old
You're off
adventure.
On a grand adventure.
Yeah.
So the party is you, Lloyd, Colette, Genus, Kratos, and Rain, who is...
That's heaps of guys.
You can use four at a time, so one's like resting,
hanging out,
I guess.
Yeah.
So one remains completely underleveled until the very end of the game when you need them.
Share experience, which is nice.
Oh, great. Oh, okay. That is nice. Yeah.
But there is parts of the game where like characters are like, right, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Because
you are technically, even though you can choose who appears in the overworld and like who's in your party, you are technically playing as Lloyd.
Yeah.
Don't have to have Lloyd in your party if you don't want.
But
you can
be
like, this is an old Genus run.
Yeah. Pure Genus.
But yeah, like the game, like narratively speaking, you are Lloyd.
Okay. Should have called the game that.
Lloyd.
No, you are Lloyd.
So basically, the game, when you're not in towns, which is obviously like similar to like any JRPG, you're just rolling around talking to people, lots of little mini games. The overworld is just a giant map where, like, big shapeless monsters are on it, and if you run into them, that activates a battle. The battles are real-time, so it's not turn-based. It relies heavily on combos and things like that, so that's fun. The combat's really fun. It is basic-ish, but there is a crazy amount of moves.
So, like, kind of, like, basic, but a lot of depth to the way you're... Yeah, and that's great.
Because you're constantly...
Are you, like, changing between characters during the fight, or are you...
You can, but Lloyd is probably the most fun to play with because he has two swords.
Oh, yeah.
So I rarely do unless Lloyd gets knocked out in a fight. Because the game doesn't automatically swap for you. So if you're playing as Lloyd and you die, then...
You can just sit back and relax.
The other three members of your party are just
Let them take care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't even have to play the game.
Did you play that second Ni No Kuni by any chance?
I haven't, but I've been screamed at to play it a lot.
I played the first one, but...
And you hated it, didn't you?
We had heaps of fun until there was a big difficulty spike.
Yeah. I don't love that first one either, but that second one has a really good similar, like... real-time action battle thing.
Yeah.
Similarly, you don't have to change characters. They'll just do their thing off to the side. And I loved that. That was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so much better than like the Final Fantasy remake where you kind of are forced to change between the characters in order to like pull off all of the combos that you need or hit certain enemies that have like difficult, you know, they're flying or whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, and one thing that I forgot about entirely until it was just like a memory that like kind of clicked for me was that there's four people in this game in your party because the game is actually four player.
Oh!
So you can set all of the characters to manual, and if you plug in four controllers, every controller controls a different character.
That does sound like a really fun time. Yeah. Except you would have to hang out with your friends for like 90 hours probably.
I think the length of this game is around 40 to 50 hours, if I remember correctly.
That's still so long.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a real JRPG to me.
I think I'm 8 hours. No, I'm like 7 hours in, and I feel like the game's only just starting.
Mm-hmm.
I only just learned, because like it's got classic JRPG stuff where the menu is...
Too big.
There's so many things. You're like, I'm not entirely sure what's going on. And it does explain a lot of stuff pretty well, but then occasionally it just doesn't explain a thing. And you're like, I don't know why you thought you should teach me how to, like, block when you haven't taught me how to, like, select different characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that is, like, one of the biggest learning curves if you're coming at the JRPG thing is that, like, they sort of expect you to have all this prerequisite knowledge and, like... how systems generally work.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of give you a bunch of stuff and hope that you
can figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
I will also say that because it's a GameCube port, it does reek a little bit of like, you've got the instruction booklet.
Sure. Okay.
I know that like PS1, PS2, GameCube kind of era, that's really big on
that's
stuff
your,
like that.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you've read the book. We don't need to explain shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, brother, this is digital.
Brother, it's 2023. I haven't seen a book in years.
But yeah, so like the game is so fun and I'm having a really good time and the story's really engaging. I like the characters, even Genus.
Genus is the best one.
Especially Genus.
Yeah, come on.
He has like he's all of his in the battle system, so you've just got HP and what is called TP, which is like mana or PP or whatever you want to call
it. What does the T stand for?
Toilet paper.
I think it's technical points. But to you get 10 back after every fight. Obviously, there's items that like bring it back up. But also, just hitting with a melee attack gives you 1.
Oh, okay.
So it really, really rewards you for being like, especially like the like Lloyd, for instance. Who I mean, you can change it so he becomes like more of a caster kind of character, like a magic user. I don't know why you'd want to do that because casting magic in the game as a playable, as the player character, is really slow and not very fun. Where wailing on a guy with some swords, more fun.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You get like special moves that are just like sword related. So there's one called like Tempest, for example, where you jump and do like a spinning slash and you hit like 3 or 4 times and it also jumps you over the enemy. And that uses, say, like 8 TP.
Yeah.
It's like really good at like rewarding you for like, okay, so you could chain 5 hits, you got 5 TP back, then you can use this sword flurry all of a sudden.
You can kind of like,
that's fun.
Yeah, and another fun thing is, like, so you get experience at the end of every fight, like, which is not a surprise, but things like landing higher combos add, like, percentage bonuses to it.
Oh, okay.
So, like, a 10-hit combo is, like, plus 5%. So then at the, like, at the end of the fight, it's like the one of the characters is like, little... yeah, we did it! It'll be like, hey, 30 XP plus 5 bonus. And you're like, yeah!
Okay.
So that part,
it's like getting, like, the stars at the end of Mario Party.
Yeah.
Get a few extra bonus.
Most mini games won.
But it's sick because Genus uses a cup and ball.
Whoa!
Ball and cup, which was what people would actually call it.
No, cup and ball is also right.
Yeah, I guess, like, it is a cup and a ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter what order you say to me.
Colette uses, like, frisbee discs.
Oh, yeah.
Lloyd has two swords. Kratos has one big sword. Rain has a staff.
All of the main types of weapons, all five of the ones that you see all of the time.
Yeah.
Those are the weapons.
Yeah.
I like in...
So it's funny when, like, any of the cast is run out of TP, because then they just run up and just start trying to hit with, like, a ball. And
well, that's what one of the balls, I don't know, but she just punches the shit out of them. That's always good to see. She just punches, like, a robot in the face.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's good for her. I also... Mr. Balls, is one of his special limit break moves is called Braver, and I don't know why. What is that?
Because he's getting all braver. He's getting braver than he was before.
I guess they're like, they couldn't call him brave because they're like, he's already brave.
Yeah. He's already
brave. But he's become
brave.
Braver.
You see the stuff he's done?
He's got a big sword.
You wouldn't do that. Yeah, that is true, game.
That's right, Final Fantasy VII.
I'm not half as brave as Mr. Ball.
I will sit down, shut up, and I will listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the game rules, and I really hope there's a patch soon, because it does seem like something they could easily patch out.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, it's a Bandai Namco port, and they're usually pretty good with Switch games. So it was a bummer to see that this one runs like shit.
Runs like shit, yeah.
The Nintendo Switch is, like, barely holding it together these days. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but, like, mine's chugging along.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Absolutely. Well, it's getting old.
Yeah, it's like 7 years
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's decrepit. Oh, yeah. Come on.
It's like
geriatric.
Geriatric, that's what I was trying to say.
Geriatric. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I got Mr. Balls on the brain. I've been playing too much JRPGs where every word is just a made-up word.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Oh, you'll like this. The current quest I'm doing is I was stuck in a little fishing village, and no one wants to sail because the seas are too treacherous at the moment, full of giant sea monsters.
Fair enough.
But this one guy's like, well, no, I have to sail to this town because for whatever reason. And there's a girl in the town that he loves.
Yeah.
But she loves a guy that just left. So she's like, if you really love me, you'll give this letter to the man I love. And he's like, don't do this to me. He's my rival in love.
That's awesome.
And she's like, well, if you won't do it, I'm going to give it to Lloyd, a guy I just saw.
Not Lloyd!
And then he's like... and then she's like, Lloyd, will you deliver it? And he's like, well, if it means we'll get to use the ship, because no one wants to sell you anywhere. So, yeah, I'm currently on a cuck quest.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cucking's cool.
Cucking is cool. Oh, another unique thing about Tales of Symphonia is certain actions give characters titles.
Oh, okay.
So, for instance, at the start of the game, it's just like Lloyd Irving, swordsman.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you do like a 10-hit combo in a fight, it's like Lloyd Irving, and you can change swordsman to combo newbie or something like that. And each title has different stat effects.
That's cool.
So, like I think I currently use like something called like brave swordsman, so that ups my health and attack.
Like Mr.
And
I'm Balls.
Like Mr. Balls.
He's brave.
A brave swordsman.
He's braver.
He's a braver, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of customization options. It has the classic RPG stuff of like, hey, you can upgrade your swords, you can equip the hat.
Mithril bells or whatever I can get in Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. Another awesome thing is that the weapons change on the character model, but the clothes do not.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Hey, it's a GameCube game. Yeah. Cut them some slack.
Give them a break.
I mean, the fact that the weapons change is quite remarkable, because a lot of those similar types of games, like, nothing. I mean, Final Fantasy VII doesn't matter what you've got equipped, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly the same.
So, yeah.
How many thumbs? What are we talking?
If it was the GameCube version, I honestly think I'd be going 5 thumbs.
Yeah.
But the Switch port sucks.
Yeah, damn.
So I guess 3 thumbs. Don't buy it unless it's on sale, or unless I say, hey, they've patched it, it's good now.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because, yeah, I think it's $60 Australian at the moment, and no love or care has been put into the game.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. Anyway, it was good to be back in GameCube era, even though I'm playing it on a Switch.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is good.
Now, Sleepy, what have you been playing?
Well, I have a game that I really want to talk about that I don't think is going to be on a lot of people's radar, but I would be remiss to not mention that I just finished Bloodborne.
Oh!
Literally 2 days ago. It's my first completed FromSoft game.
Nice.
And I had a hell of a time. I imagine you guys have already talked about this game a bunch. I know you've mentioned it in passing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually really good that you're bringing this up because Jackson is a huge Soulsborne guy.
Yeah.
But is so bad at Bloodborne.
My brain doesn't understand Bloodborne. I beat Dark Souls 1. I'm well on the way to beating Dark Souls 2. But Bloodborne, my brain, it just bounces off it.
Yeah, because...
For me, it was like way more easy to get into simply because you don't need to worry about shielding.
Yeah.
And if you get hit, you can get some of your health back by just wailing away at whatever hit you.
Yeah.
So the constant aggression like suited my brute forcing my way through a game kind of energy that I tend to take into stuff. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, Sleepy.
No, you're good.
But what weapons were you using in Bloodborne? Were they quick?
That's an excellent question. No, I actually used the Kirk Hammer, which I believe you guys
were using
too.
Oh my god!
However, I very rarely went hammer mode. I was all sword mode, except for enemies, which I knew were going to be a little bit slower. But yeah, I got that Kirk Hammer real early, and I loved the animation of like putting the hammer bit
on.
I was like, this is cool. And then I never used the hammer, basically.
I tell you, I think why I always try and use the hammer is because if you do the Bomba Big Boy blast with the hammer, you take a huge chunk of the boss's health, right?
You sure do.
The idle animation goes for about 10 seconds of you just being like...
Boom! I said, some terrible, rotten part of my brain is like, you only need to do that 6 times. And then if my brain's like, but if you did 12 slashes, you would take them down quicker. I can't understand that.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's beyond me.
Yeah. No, I was tempted a few times, but it was always, it always bit me in the butt whenever I tried it. So just stuck to the sword. But the sword felt pretty cool. And then I got very overwhelmed by the weapon choice, so I didn't want to switch too much because the game felt completely different every time you changed a weapon. So
yeah, for sure.
I stuck with that Kirk Hammer, got the full upgrade, took it all the way through the DLC, all the way to the end of the game.
Nice.
Killed that guy at the end, which I won't spoil.
Will I ever get there?
No. Jackson's quests through Soulsborne games is similar to the Persona 5 experience you had, which is close enough is good enough. Yeah. If a boss gets too hard, you've pretty much finished the game.
I basically finished Elden Ring. Well, the new DLC was announced recently, so I got to go back and finish it so that I can do the DLC honestly.
I'm keen to go into Elden Ring now that I have a take, because I did try Dark Souls 1, and I got about halfway through Sekiro as well, which feels like a completely different thing anyway now that I've played Bloodborne. It's like a whole other type of game, really. But now that I've got the rhythm a little bit, I'm interested to go into Elden Ring for the first time and see if I can carry that enthusiasm.
I'm sure you'll be able to. I'm sure
you'll
be able to.
We'll see. I don't love open world games.
I get that.
Major exceptions. But it seems like the kind of game that you don't need to do everything in. You can kind of just make your own way through, and I think that's how I'm going to play
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But the real game that I want to talk about is a bit of a different game. It's an indie game called Dreamwild.
Whoa. I have never heard of this.
Me neither, but it's got a great name.
Yeah, it's a remarkable little thing. It took me about 5 hours to beat. So it's a short experience, which is like preferable to me. I like to channel flick through games. I like to play a lot of different type of stuff. So if a game can be beaten in 5-10 hours, I'm like, all right, let's do this.
That's a thumb cramps method of playing video games.
Yeah.
We play a different game every week, and
do we play any games properly?
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes.
So what's properly anyway? What does exactly that mean, you know?
Is properly not setting at a timer to make sure you don't accidentally play Final Fantasy VII for too long? Maybe.
If I'd played it for a second too long, I'd have had to take a really long look in the mirror. Think about what I've
Who
become.
Are you? Are you going to let the fact that there's a dog in this JRPG change everything you know about yourself?
I don't want any spoilers on what other Final Fantasy games you plan on playing, but like I have some in mind that you could play that potentially in those first few hours you could go like, oh, okay, this is the one. So I'm interested to see.
That's very scary.
So a peek behind the curtain for listeners. Yeah. Jackson hasn't fully decided yet because, he had planned for four weeks, but there's five.
There's five.
But
Before I continue talking about Dreamwild, can I make a pitch for
one
that I think?
Please.
So This is a Final Fantasy game that I think is it's a little bit more maligned from the main canon, but I think Final Fantasy 15 is really lovely and fun, and I think
is that the boy band one?
That's the Leather Boys.
That was on the short list.
I think it's really fun, and it's got a really quick onboard.
Okay,
and the story is incomprehensible even if you pay attention, because there's like a movie element to it. There's all these DLCs for the backstories of all of the Leather Boys.
Oh, okay.
So if you ignore the cutscenes or skip through them or don't do reading,
yeah,
you will probably still have a pretty good time with it.
That's a great pitch.
Yeah.
That might have locked that in.
Quickly to take it back to Tales of Symphonia real quick. One thing that I will applaud the game for is, even though it has all of the classic anime trope kind of things,
yeah,
it explains it in a way where at this point in the story, I am absolutely 100% following it and know exactly why every character is doing what they're doing.
Oh, and wow.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's truly wild.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not entirely sure why Rain has come along, but apart from that, everything makes sense.
Yeah.
You're allowed one.
Yeah. That does make it seem more appealing to me, honestly, because when you started describing it, it did sound a little bit like a Dragon Quest sort of plot. And then you're like, oh, and then at the end of Act One, you find out that what you're doing is bad. And I was like, okay, that actually sounds a little bit more interesting than a Dragon Quest game.
Yeah.
Slightly more engaging.
I know that there's a lot of plot twists, and I remember one, and knowing it, there's seeds from it pretty early on. So I think I was just a stupid teen. It didn't catch on before the reveal. But there is also like a thing that's being hinted at that I don't know if actually happens, which is like, oh, there's a really sinister vibe to this.
Cool.
Basically, and this, again, not a spoiler because this is just, I don't even know if this happens, but like, Lloyd is 14 and an idiot.
Yeah.
I am 31 currently and can read.
Yeah.
So Colette's like, if this adventure goes well, like, basically there's a heavy implication that she will die.
Oh,
like,
okay.
The end of this is her sacrificing herself.
Sure.
And Lloyd's like, I love that we're friends and I get to go on this journey with you. I can't wait to hang
Lloyd,
out.
Lloyd, buddy.
Yeah. And also, I reckon there'll probably be romantic options.
I think Mr. Balls is maybe in love with one of the other balls. But
don't get too attached to that other Balls character. Let me tell you.
I know one of the balls dies.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's a famous death of balls. I've heard of it before. I would have felt nothing.
Save her.
I'm not gonna try.
You've lost a ball before.
Yeah, I've lost a nut already. It was easy.
Yeah, the other famous conversation around Final Fantasy VII is how you actually pronounce balls, whether it's balls or balf.
I'm gonna say balf, I think.
Yeah.
Mrs. Balf.
Mrs. Balf.
I'm sorry.
Dreamwild. Yeah.
Yes.
Dreamwild. Yeah. So this is it's a game developed by a group called Fading Club. They've only done a few other games.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know Hylix or Hylix 2? It's kind of another indie title.
That's
got like a claymation-y sort of look to it.
Whoa, that's weird. No, I don't. I'm a big fan of Clay Fighter 63 and a third.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm a big claymation in video games guy.
Look it up. Show it to me on your little machine.
Anyone out there familiar with Hylix, Dreamwild's got a bit of a similar aesthetic in parts of it, but it's this delightfully inscrutable, really honed, like, speed game, essentially, where you do these runs through a first-person randomly generated field, and you've got a sword. And when you're at full health, the sword can shoot a beam, but if you've taken a hit, it's just a melee weapon.
Oh, yeah.
But your speed is, like, incremental when you do bunny hops, so you can, like, hop through this world and build up, like, there's a speedometer as well.
Yeah.
It tells you how fast you're going. And as you go through, you attack these enemies, and they drop these orbs, which gives your health back and is the currency of the game.
Yeah.
And then in each of these, like, randomly generated fields, there's an exit that takes you to a home world. So you basically just have to survive as long as you can, gather as many orbs as you can, go back home, and then use those to upgrade your sword or your health.
I was not expecting this to be a first-person game.
Show me.
Yeah. So the home world is like a top-down 3D, like, kind of pre-rendered looking environment with, like, again, like, sort of claymation-y kind of characters that have, like, very charming little things to say when you go and talk
quite
to them.
Pretty. Like,
it is very pretty. Very pretty game. But then the actual game of it, the meat of the game, is all first person kind of. It reminded me a little bit of, like, a very fast Kingsfield.
So yeah.
That was appealing to me. But yeah, there's like a real emphasis on exploration. So as you go through these worlds, there's other gates to other levels that you can pay to go through. And as you go through, it gets a bit harder and your orbs are worth more and there's different types of enemies. But then there were like bonus weapons that were in the game that I didn't even start seeing until like my second last run through the game.
Oh my God.
Tons of secrets and weird little things to find. You might like this, Jackson. There's no reading involved except optional story reading. There's like a library of tomes that you can go through that unlock.
Optional is my favorite word. I love to hear that.
I thought you'd like that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
But the story's really lovely if you do pay attention to it. It's quite slight. Like it's not too hectic or long. And then the final level, like the final end part, like my heart was racing so much that when I beat it, like I was like shaking and I had to like sit back because it goes, that speed that you've been learning throughout the whole game is like really required. Like you really need to have learned how to do the bunny hop speed up.
Yeah.
But also you are in combat with a thing that is very difficult to move around in a fast way. So it's a lot of balancing the movement and the combat, in really cool, interesting ways. And I think it's like, $11 or $12 at the moment. So it's like, it's a kind of game that if you're into indie games or want to explore some like weird different stuff and that kind of speed game thing, like Neon White kind of appeals to you.
Hell yeah. Neon White. Yeah.
It's a little bit less crunchy with the mechanics. It's more loosey goosey, but I think it's people who like Neon White can probably find something to like here too, I think.
Unless they like Neon White for the anime story, in which case.
For the visual novel stuff, yeah. Which for me was my least favorite part of that game.
Everyone hates it, but I think it rocks. It's like going on Tumblr in 2012.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a friend who was really big into visual novels, and she had a bunch of recommendations for like some of the, you know, the real... The good stuff, the real horny visual novel stuff. She was like, "There's actually some really interesting game mechanics if you give this a shot."
Yeah,
and I tried like three of them, and I was like, "I don't know if this genre's for me. I just need to put
trust
it down."
Me. I know the name is Hentai Club, but once you get through the name, that's a real game on the Nintendo Switch.
That's awesome. Maybe you should do a month of penance at some point in the future.
Do a visual novel month.
Visual novel prol.
I've never played visual novels, but like I'm sure if I played something like Doku Doku Literature Club, I'll be like, I'm having a good time. Yeah. It's only that like any of them that try and be like ironic or anything, that'll make me sick.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Visual novel prol is pretty good, but it's got to be anime prol, right?
Yeah, anime prol!
I also like anime. So
it's more penance for me! Damn it.
But yeah, Dreamwild's real cool. I'm a big fan of like, I do a lot of streaming of like weird niche indie games, and that was one that I put on for a stream and then finished the stream and then kept playing for like several hours on my own. So that's always a good sign for me.
Absolutely. It sounds, that sounds so appealing. The way it looks is not at all how I expected, but it looks great and it sounds like such a fun idea for a game.
Hell yeah.
I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, I'm keen for it too. Chucked it on my wish list. I almost said watch list. Yeah. Whatever it's called. The Steam version of whatever the list is.
Speaking of wish list, I just got a notification before we recorded that Game of the Year 2022 Deadliest Catch is $3.
Oh my God, this is your chance. Thumb Cramps listeners, you've never had a better opportunity to play the greatest game of 2022.
I'm going to buy it. I put it on the wish list.
You got it. It's so good. Friend of the show, Tom Walker, played this on his stream as well. And I just want to point out, actually, it's a good opportunity. He played it wrong. Yeah. He didn't play it optimally, and it annoyed me.
You were in the chat just screaming. He did because he's a big streamer. Didn't even notice you were there. You're yelling at him.
A little guy shaking my fist. He went to three different locations to put down his crab pots. You don't have to do that. The game doesn't notice. Drop them all in the same place. You get the same amount of crabs.
I tried to grab an audio clip from the game because you were like, yeah, put audio clip in from it at the start of the episode because there's just like a whole bunch of your Game of the Year clips back to back. You didn't tell me there was no voice acting in the game, so I just...
seagulls.
So I found a clip that's like half slurred from the show.
Yeah, it's good.
Where the person driving the boat turns over their shoulder and goes, hey, there's crabs in there.
I'm not familiar with the show, but I love like janky Sims. Oh, so as soon as you started talking about it, I was like, okay, this thing. Have you played My Summer Car, by the way? So I'm just going to list off.
I think I played it ages ago on a shit computer. So I think I would like to play it again. I played a game called like The Longest Journey or something, which was another weird sim where like I think ostensibly they were like, the world's ended and you've got a car that you've got to, you know, maintain or whatever, and you've got to drive around and just like, I don't know, get into trouble or whatever. But it's so janky, and the car has a radio station, but the radio station's clearly just the developer just like saying whatever came into his head.
Oh yeah.
And so much of it is him talking about how in the future there'll be sex robots. Like so much. And like you turn it on, it'd be that. You turn it off for a bit, go do something, come back, turn it on. Completely different conversation.
Hell
winds
yeah.
its way back to sex bots.
Hell yeah.
So funny.
He was like, how can I explore my love of sex bots without making a game directly about sex bots?
I'll just put my thoughts in the game that they can listen to when they're driving. I wish I could remember the name of the game where the guy loved the sex bots. He had like a Finnish accent, and he would just be like, I don't know, I think in the future, maybe we'll have sex robots, and I think they'll be pretty cool.
This could be My Summer Car, because that is also a Finnish game. Yeah, I don't
know. I don't know if it was, because My Summer Car is pretty well realized, so I don't know if it is, but my God.
That's not how I would describe the game. I had a good time with it, though.
Yeah, I should give it another go. Janky sim games are so much fun.
The first death I got in My Summer Car, I was taking a shower and peeing in the shower, and all of the lights went off in the house. So I went to the fuse box, but I didn't realize I was still peeing, and I continued to pee into the fuse box and got electrocuted.
Oh,
and I was
awesome.
This is the game for me.
That's so good. Yeah, I think when I played it, my computer just was, which is crazy, but my computer was struggling to run it. So
no, that's fair. There's a lot of there's a lot of models in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sleepy, how many thumbs for Dreamwild?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like 5 thumbs is very coveted. Mm. It feels like it's maybe not a perfect game, but I'm pretty confident giving it 4 thumbs.
Yeah. Okay, well, if this may change your thumb rating, 5 thumbs for what is a perfect, well, I guess like a pretty close to perfect, if not perfect game.
Yeah.
But you can give 10 thumbs if it's your game of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
And your game of the year is allowed to change. If it's your current
it's
game of the year,
stone,
it's 10 thumbs.
Well, I played it a little late for 2022's Game of the Year, so I can't, in good conscience, give it my Game of the Year 10 thumbs, unfortunately.
No, that's okay.
Well, I mean,
could it be 2023's Game of the Year?
Yeah, here's the thing about Game of the Year's and thumb cramps.
Oh, yeah, true. Doesn't
whatever
need to have come
played,
out.
Yeah, there's no rules.
Deadliest Catch, did that come out last year?
No, I think it was 2016 or something.
Now, Deadliest Catch might be my game of the year this year, so I'll still hold off from
good idea.
20 thumbs. But I'll stick with the 4. 4 thumbs for Dreamwild. It's a great little game.
Oh, hang on. Who's that at the door?
I don't know.
Come in. Hey, everybody, it's me, Mr. Raz. I got a big stinking sack of ads to give you sons of bitches.
Oh, Mr. Raz, I love your big stinking sack of ads.
Yeah, sorry about the potty mouth, boys. I'm just pissed off.
What happened, Mr. Raz?
They put a clamp on my car.
I clamped your car.
I parked somewhere I shouldn't.
Where'd you park?
I don't want to say. I don't want to get in any more trouble about where I parked my car.
Okay,
my truck. My ads truck.
Can I guess?
Yeah, okay. You can have three guesses.
Was it in front of a hospital?
No. Sleepy, you can have a guess.
Was it, I'm struggling to think of a funny enough suggestion.
Anyway, just whatever comes to mind.
The porno store.
Mr. Ads, did you park in the
Sleepy's illegally? Right. I parked at the front of the porno store.
They clamped you outside the porno store.
Because I wasn't allowed. That was for porno business only. And I was not, I mean, I was a purveyor of the business, but I wasn't there to deliver porno.
It was an emergency.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, sorry to hear that you're pissed off, Mr.
Yeah,
Ads.
Yeah, I'm pissed off.
Maybe if you just give us some ads, that'll make you feel better.
Well, I gotta go to court about it now, so I'm just gonna drop the ads off and go to court.
Well,
see you, boys.
Good luck in court, Mr. Ads.
Good luck in court. I don't think that's how the court system works.
Yeah, he's not a
big
deal.
Does Mr. Ads know? Surely it would be a fine. Anyway.
We'll have to ask him next week. Maybe he's fighting the fine.
Yeah, okay. I hope he is.
Yeah. You can park your truck
at
a porno store.
Yeah, you can park your truck at a porno store. It's fine.
Now, Jackson.
Yeah.
We got a lot of emails this week, so I'm just going to handpick a couple. But I haven't read them properly, so if I handpick some stinkers,
I won't blame you.
Yeah, it's on the email and not on me.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, I'm going to start, rather than doing what I'd usually do, which is end with a big one, I'm going to start with a big one.
Oh, okay.
I got some questions to ask Sleepy about this. We can obviously weigh in, but it also has a very interesting part to the email.
Okay, okay.
First of all, this is an email where the person's name is attached to their email address, but they've signed off with a redacted name because they say something that they don't want associated with their name.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. Dear internet boyfriends, remember when you were talking about how buying video games as an adult is embarrassing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I just found out that my local video game store I've been going to has a Twitch channel where they broadcast a live feed of the shop, including customers and audio.
Oh my God.
Receipts. Visual receipts.
So, Sleepy, I don't know if you share this, but the concept of going into a video game store and asking for a game is embarrassing.
Because it's humiliating to want a game.
Deeply embarrassing. Very childish, juvenile stuff.
Absolutely.
Having to ask any questions, the worst.
Because you can just put the game down kind of like surreptitiously.
It's for my son. I've had sex.
I had sex the other day and had a son. It's for him. And I might have sex tonight.
Yeah, I'm trying for another son.
A different son. I'm trying for a different son. So take
this
your
one's
copy
no
of-
good. This one I got's no good. He's in the video games.
I want a cool son. Yeah. So. But he wants this copy of Worms 3D.
Anyway, ring it up. Ring it up on your little machine for me. I got to get out of this stinking game store so I can go try for a different son. I love my wife.
Yeah. It's good to say that too. Good to let them know.
So first of all, redacted. That's huge news.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And they go into a bit more detail. They have a decent following too, which means it's entirely possible 1,000 internet voyeurs watched me enter the store a couple of weeks ago, squat all the way down for roughly 10 minutes to look at old Game Boy games that they keep on the bottom shelf of a display case.
Oh, no.
And then settle on a copy of Frogger 2 Swampy's Revenge for the Game Boy Color.
The only thing worse than shopping for video games is putting any physical exertion into the shopping of video games.
Not only you wanted this game so bad, you bent down to get it.
Yeah. You did squats.
Oh my God.
I just tuned in for a couple of minutes and watched another grown man ask if they had any copies of the Metroid Prime remaster. And when they said yes, he let out a giddy yay. And I pray to God he never finds out that an audience of 334 people just saw that.
Oh my God.
And then, redacted, includes, here's the channel if you're curious. So it's twitch.tv/DS Cooper.
That's such a great idea. Mm. What an awesome thing to watch.
DS Cooper sounds like a law firm.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a Twitch stream.
Also, at first, I thought it was going to say DK Oldies, and I thought Thumb Cramps is going to get sucked into the DK Oldies discourse, but no. DS Cooper.
Yeah.
Also, I'm aware, don't email me about it. Also...
Oh, no.
Also, one of the stores got robbed at gunpoint a few months ago.
Was it streamed?
It must have been.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Pull up the VODs. Oh, you can see these guys' faces.
And the guy working at the store at the time was wearing a Shadow the Hedgehog t-shirt, which I thought was a little funny because Shadow equals Sonic and a gun in the same way that robber equals customer with a gun. I guess it's mostly not funny and just a bad thing that happened. I think it's a bit funny.
It's pretty funny. It's funny for a real-life thing to be on the nose. Like a real thing that happened.
This has made me very excited.
That's
definitely gonna check out
me
this
too.
Stream. I want to see people buy games and be like,
"That's embarrassing." I do that sometimes. Yeah,
I'm watching this on Twitch, which is way cooler.
I'm interested to watch it because there is like a whole genre of Twitch streams that's like, it'll be like a hutch of rabbits or like an aquarium of fish, and it's just, you know, you just watch it and you just kind of tune out, and it's nice to have on one screen. And this feels like the human zoo equivalent of that.
Absolutely.
Kind of like from Tales of Symphonia, like this is the human farm that they keep all the people.
Well, it's wild that there's audio as well. That'd be like working there would be so stressful.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
couldn't say anything.
Yeah, you gotta mime everything.
I would work silent. Yeah, if I found out any of my places of employment, except this one, obviously, because I am directly talking into a microphone, had microphones in their security cameras.
Woo! Oh yeah, no
terrifying.
Good.
Everything the only thing I say at my job is, I hate my boss. Hey Joel, how are you? I hate my boss. Classic Joel.
Yeah, just one thanks. Yeah, I hate my boss.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then this is where the redacted part of the email comes in. P.S. I am playing Wario Land 3.
Great game.
And I'm not getting horny out of frustration.
Okay.
Because I am using the Nintendo Online Rewind function quite liberally.
Mm-hmm.
I am, however, getting horny out of horniness, though. Because for some reason, Wario's hot in this game in a way that he is not hot in other games. Maybe it's his arms? Sincerely, a coward who refuses to say his name in the same email where he says Wario is hot.
Wow.
Wario's hot.
Look, I'm with you. Like, we had Ruby in his last week, and she said the same thing.
Her unconventional, she was like, my unconventional video game crush is Wario.
He does have lovely, big, muscly arms. He looks like he could kind of hold you tight.
Well, you like him Wario Land 3 because he's got a fat ass.
It's awesome how fat his ass is in Wario Land 3. He's clapping as he climbs them ladders. Yeah.
You're clapping him.
He's got his priorities and he sticks to them. He's got a vision for his life.
Absolutely.
And how he wants it to be. He's driven. These are all things that are very, very horny to me.
Yeah.
It's passion. And
compare Wario to Luigi.
Oh, yeah. Luigi's sexless.
Sexless.
The coward Luigi.
Yeah, exactly. He's a worm.
The assassination of Wario by the coward Luigi? Is there something in that? Is that good?
There's something in that.
There is something in that.
I'll let it cook for a bit longer.
Yeah. Bring it back next episode. Yeah. See if you fixed it.
This next email is from Joshua. Subject, unlocked video game memories.
Okay.
Hello, gamer boyfriends. Long-time caller, first-time listener here. That's a funny little
twist.
Joshua.
Good.
Very clever. On the most recent episode, Joel, you mentioned the game Project Rub, which is also known as Feel the Magic, or in Japan, I Would Die for You.
Yeah.
This opened the floodgates for all DS game memories I had carefully locked away. We also last week mentioned sad gaming moments, and we spoke about, Jackson, how you were devastated that your friend beat the Elite Four with your Pokemon.
Yes.
And I was devastated when I saved over my Pokemon Blue save.
Yeah.
Joshua has a similar thing where they had an almost maxed out save file in Nintendogs, got bored and figured they'd start over from the start again. I wiped my save, started over, and within 10 minutes I was scream crying to my mom about how I killed my video game dogs and how I wanted them back.
Oh my god. Because it's,
you put down those dogs, Joshua.
Because if you start a brand new Mario save, you don't feel like you killed Mario. You know? But with Nintendogs, I would feel like I'd killed those dogs.
I'm happy to say that you did kill those dogs, Joshua.
Yeah, and it did digitally, if they had any semblance of consciousness.
Yeah.
It was wiped the moment you started again.
By you.
Take
responsibilities for your actions. Video game dogs are for life, not just for a hobby.
Same as Pokemon, same as Tamagotchi. Yeah. Anything that's got where you feed it or you give it any kind of affection, that's a real thing.
It's
you're killing
it's
it.
Real. It's real life.
Yeah. Joshua has another sad gaming story, but it's less sad. But I would say it's a different type of sad.
Oh, okay.
One time I got 3 copies of Crash Bang Boom for Christmas. It was not a good game, and even with the additional copies, I couldn't get any of my friends to join me to play it.
What the hell is Crash Bang Boom?
Is that a sequel to Crash...
Crash Bash?
Yeah, maybe.
Crash Bash, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Like I get
Mario,
that.
A Crash Mario party thing.
Yeah. Crash party.
If a friend of yours was like, do you want to come play Crash Bash or Crash Bang Boom or whatever, would you do it?
I've played Crash Bash with friends. I'm not afraid of no Crash Bash. I'll Crash Bash from time
Who's
to time.
Who's your Crash Bash mate?
I'd bash.
Ripperoo, I think he's in the game. He's pretty good.
What about you, Sleepy? Who's your Crash Bash main?
What's the name of the sister? Coco.
Coco. Good choice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an engagement.
Nokia Engage.
To play Tomb Raider on that?
Yeah.
One of the only games released.
Tony Hawk, I think.
Yeah, Tony Hawk was on it.
Too.
Ran all of the games ran like shit.
Yeah.
Engage, bad idea, worse in concept.
I think so.
Basically, Joshua then says, do any of the boys have any deep memories of sad game days?
I don't know if this is only sad from a certain perspective, but I do have a memory of playing Scribble. It's a DS memory too.
Yeah,
playing Scribblenauts on the DS.
Yeah.
Back when I shared a house with a friend of mine, whilst him and his boyfriend were having wild, passionate sex in the room behind me, and I was just sitting there being like, "What if I write dog?" While I was just going at it. I think that's, I don't know if that's sad or funny, but it's something.
I've got a sad lost Pokemon memory. I had a 3DS with all of, it had like a case in it.
Yeah.
With all of the game cartridges of every Pokemon game from like all of the DS generations and 3DS generations.
Damn.
And I had Pokemon in there that I'd carried forward from like the third gen as well. Like there was a Gengar in there called Betsy that I had in every, you know, Elite Four team or whatever. And then that whole case got stolen from my friend's car. And so I lost like 15 years of gameplay and memories.
Oh my God.
Hey.
Luckily, I went through a breakup shortly after, so I had a different sad thing to be sad about. And the Pokemon soon didn't really matter so much.
Our listeners, if you've seen Betsy or Sleepy Nice's ex-girlfriend, let us know.
I'm trying to call them both. They won't pick up.
I'm trying to think of like sad gamer memories. Honestly, the most recent one, finding out my first GameCube memory card was corrupt
and
lost all
those
saves. I took it on the chin because I am a grown man now, but I was a bit like, oh, damn.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Saving over Pokemon Blue. I'm sure there's definitely others. When I was a child, I once played Toy Story 2 so much on the Nintendo 64 that I melted one of the chips.
Whoa.
So I lost all of that.
That's awesome.
I brought a Pokemon Snap over to the first ever sleepover that I ever went to in year six. And we were playing it and I fell asleep. And while I was asleep, the rest of the guys at the sleepover beat the game.
It was my
copy of Pokemon Snap. And I woke up and they were watching the credits roll. And I was like, oh my God, I missed it.
You met Mew on the moon without me.
Yeah, that's devastating.
It's awesome to get a photo of Mew at the end of Pokemon Snap. You got to just hit it with Pesto Balls for ages.
It'd be funny if they were called Pesto Balls. Is that anything? Does that need to cook a little longer?
Let him cook, I reckon.
Okay. Put that back in the oven.
And finally, to bring us home, this is from Gail Marie. And this is, I guess, a look back to the last month.
Oh,
the subject of this email is February Cube.
Beautiful.
Dearest video game boyfriends, I waited until you finished the whole month because I was so certain you'd mention my favorite GameCube game of all time, Eternal Darkness.
Oh.
Now, I have this game, and it was one that was on the pile.
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason, though, I did pick to play
Shadow of the Hedgehog instead.
Yeah. Shadow the Hedgehog
was... You gotta play Shadow the Hedgehog.
There was a short list of games, and Shadow the Hedgehog was already one step ahead of that from the moment that I saw it. You know what? I'll give you a little glimpse behind the scenes, listeners, of games that came close, but unfortunately didn't make it to February Cube, but maybe February Cube 2 next year. Killer 7, Eternal
Hell
Darkness.
Yeah.
Time Splitters 2.
Oh, yeah.
BMX Triple X.
Oh, yeah.
That's a game people would have yelled at me for playing, but I would have played it. It's uncensored on the GameCube for some reason.
Yeah. Nintendo knows what we want.
Yeah. Star Fox Adventures, and I think that was it.
Okay.
Star Fox Adventures only slightly less horny than BMX Triple X.
Oh, yeah. Gail Marie then says, I love this game so much. It was a really fun game to play alone at night in a dark and quiet house with only the TV on for lights. My favorite part was doing what I called sanity challenges, where I'd play as long as I could without refilling my sanity bar.
Oh, that's cool.
And for anyone who doesn't know, Eternal Darkness has a sanity bar. When it is maxed out, the game starts doing crazy things. And at the time, these were like unheard of. So things like it looks like the GameCube's crashed.
Yeah.
And when it reboots, it looks like it's deleting your memory card.
Even simple stuff like the volume going down and stuff. Like,
yeah. Volume going down, volume going up.
Yeah, yeah.
Do the walls bleed as well?
Your head comes off.
Whoa!
So yeah, Gail Marie then says, this led to some of my funniest experiences in my mind playing any video game ever. Where I'd endured so many of the sanity effects, game overs, files, save file deletion, disappearing inventory, volume changes, my head falling off, roaches crawling along the screen. that when the game suddenly went to a whole screen of static, I sat there watching it for at least 15 minutes before it dawned on me that the game had actually crashed.
That rules.
That's great that a game can mess with you so much it breaks and you think, this is part of it.
I finished all four endings, and if I still had my GameCube on my Wii, I would probably go back and play it at least once a year. I only have two tattoos on my body, but I occasionally think really hard about getting a rune from it to remind myself that I can overcome anything with effort. But then I chicken out because it would just be so much to explain. Anyway, I enjoyed the month and I'm glad you did it. Cheers, Gail Marie.
It's a game I've always been curious to try. So I hope you end up playing it and reviewing it at some point in the future.
Yeah, I picked up a couple of like classic-ish GameCube games in the period where the Wii was like at its peak.
Yeah.
So like some games that are now quite expensive weren't too bad. So like Killer 7, Eternal Darkness, things like that. Mm-hmm. I got them for like $30 or $40 when now they're like 100.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I got I've still got my copy of Smash Bros. Melee on the shelf behind
Hell
me.
Yeah.
And that's that fetches a pretty penny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I got Paper Mario 1000-Year Door.
Hell yeah.
Which is worth a bunch. But my copy, the case is not in great condition because I thrashed it. Oh yeah, that was another game I almost played, but I was like Too long. Too long. So yeah, thanks to the emails. And hey, maybe there'll be a return to FebuAmeCube at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
FebuAmeCube 2.
There's more GameCube games out there.
Oh, also last week I made the bold claim that I have like 30 to 40 games. I have over 50.
Whoa!
I was trying to put them in my shelf. I was like, hang on a second. If this fits 20, and then this row fits 20, why do I have over 10 that,
Do you reckon you have the most GameCube games anybody's ever had?
I actually found out that the GameCube in its era had the most amount of games per console owned.
Really?
So the average GameCube owner had 9.8 games. I don't know what the other consoles were, but that was apparently extraordinarily high.
That's crazy. Yeah,
the GameCube was like pretty low selling as well. So like, and you know, as far as Nintendo consoles. So I think probably the people that had them were like, you know, the real GameCube heads, and they had to rep their set, and they had to buy every game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know it's come up on the show a couple of times. Yeah. I don't know who keeps saying it, but I do, in fact, have two GameCubes.
That's true.
Oh, so it actually does even out.
You should have, about 20.
Well, I got more
but
than
you
that.
Got more, yeah.
I'm helping the average.
You probably need more GameCubes to even it out.
Maybe I'll get a purple one.
Yeah.
Make a tower of GameCubes. People be like, hey, can I have a GameCube? They're kind of hard to get. I'm like, no.
I'm hoarding.
You can't carry more than two, though. It's just one per hand.
That's true.
I got to start walking around holding a game. Like a briefcase. It's going for a walk.
You should bring it to work.
Yeah, put my lunch in it.
Just in case.
Yeah. Open it up, take a banana out, squished with a circle in the middle.
What's wrong with you? Nothing. Love my job, love my games.
Nothing, I'm normal.
Hate my boss. So if you want to send us an email, you can hit us up at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Sleepy Nice, thank you so much for joining us. Today's episode has come to 2 thumbs from Jackson.
Uh-huh.
3 thumbs from me. That's 5 thumbs.
Yeah.
Plus 4 thumbs from Sleepy. That's 9 thumbs.
Whoa.
Kind of low episode, but shockingly high considering one of the games reviewed was Jackson playing Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
Before we get to Sleepy Nice's plugs, Jackson, how are you feeling about next week's penance? The second nail on your cross.
The second nail in each of my hand. This is tougher than I thought it was going to be. Oh, it was all laughs and jokes when I was like, I should do Final March to suffer for my crimes.
Yep.
But now that I'm actually in it and doing an hour every night, there is actually no worse part of my day than I get home from recording podcasts at the studio. It's, you know, I get home, it's late, I haven't cooked dinner yet. I cook dinner, and then I don't get to relax. I have another hour of work baked in.
You sit down and you play one of the most beloved video games of all time when you say, I hate my life.
It's horrible. So it's tough, and it's only going to get tougher.
Yeah, so come back next week for further Final Marshesy and Sleepy Nice. Where can we find you?
So many places.
Hell yeah.
That's great.
Sleepy_nice on Twitter is where I talk about video games. I've got a YouTube channel that I do with a bunch of other streamers where we do Let's Plays. That's called Eggy Jazz. You can just look that up.
Great name.
Awesome. And then for the music fans out there, I do two projects that are like pretty video game music inspired. I got a drum and bass project called Possible People that's like very heavily inspired by Suichi Torada's Ape Escape soundtrack.
Hell yes. I'm seeing him next week.
Yeah, me too. We'll be in different cities, but we'll be there together in spirit.
I'm seeing him play at 4 p.m. at a music festival.
Oh, wow.
Which is a really weird time for him, but I'm going to I'm going to dress up like one of the apes from Ape Escape, I reckon. Sorry, please.
And then the other project is called Lore Spinner, and it's a dungeon synth project that's very, like, ambient fantasy music, very inspired by, like, the Koji Kondo Zelda soundtracks, and it's basically, like, music for temples. Go and check those out if those sound appealing to you.
Hell yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Thumb Cramps. You're actually... So we get guests that are suggested by... Yeah. Fans,
mm-hmm.
but you were heavily recommended by multiple guests.
Yeah, it was very sweet to listen to that end of year episode and hear Levins and Ruby talk about me in that way. Things that they would never say to my face. Very nice on a podcast.
You're really the guest's guest.
and I actually love that so much. That's I'm going to put that on my bio on Twitter.
Kind of like the Velvet Underground first show where there was only like 100 people there, but they all went and started a band.
Yeah.
Sleepy Nice was the analogy's falling apart, but
no, keep going. You
power through, power
Sleepy
through.
Nice, people don't know that that's what they want a podcast. Everyone heard the podcast, started a podcast.
Come on,
it's close, but they were recommended by other. So like a podcaster's podcaster.
Yeah.
I'll let it.
We nailed it.
Yeah. That one doesn't need any more. It's good.
Yeah. The assassination of Wario by the coward Luigi.
Coward Luigi, yep.
Mamma mia. Well, thanks again, and listeners, we'll see you next week for further gaming, and until then, keep gaming.
Don't stop gaming.
Rest in peace, Mr. Ads 2.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.